We are thinking about being women of praise. And before I pray, you all have a handout, I'm hoping. I took care of Momsie for 3 years, as you know, 10 years really, but 3 years were difficult. And at the end of those 3 years, as we approached the end, I didn't know it was the end, I thought God was crushing me. Now, I've learned how to take advantage of all free programs. If you take care of a loved one, somebody gave me this advice. You look for all free programs, or if people offer you stuff, don't ever say, no, thank you. No, always say yes. And so I found a program with a volunteer for veterans that would come in for 1 hour once a week. Or maybe it was once every 2 weeks. I don't know. So she would come in, and I'd get 1 hour to go. And sometimes I went to take a nap. Sometimes I did my laundry. But this particular day, God was crushing me. And I went upstairs. I sat on my love seat. Please come visit me. I'd love you to sit on my love seat. Look out my window. I have a beautiful view of the Mississippi. It's just what God's given me. I may move, so come before I move. I moved there to take care of Mom. I looked out my window, and I cried, and I said, God, you are crushing me. Why would you crush me? And I thought, I'll tell you what I thought. God doesn't crush people. He can't be crushing me. Now I will tell you, he does crush people. Let's think about the horse at Turkey Hill. That horse, in order to be used by God, had to be broken. You couldn't just let that horse go. And God was breaking me. And I'm thankful. But that day I sat there with my head in my hands saying, God, you're crushing me. And I didn't say that to people because that wouldn't have been good. I just said it to God. And I'm going to tell you what happened later. But I want you to know that at that time I was in Isaiah 28. And I read this passage that we're going to read, and it's precious to me, and I didn't get it, and I still don't get it, but I love it. And so it's kind of been my meditation for years, and every time I realize that God is breaking me, he's putting that rope around my legs, like, why would he do that? Well, it's so he can use me and you. Everything that you go through in life, God is there as the one who is working in you to will and work for his good pleasure. Don't forget it. And so when you know that, well, you can be a woman who just wants to please him and make him happy. That's my prayer, Lord, this morning as Craig and I were praying together. Lord, we just want to make you happy today. We want you to smile when you think of Craig and Nancy. That's all I want. And in order to do that, well, he's got... I am a tough cookie. I'm realizing that. And you are too, babe. I'm sorry. You're beautiful. But you are a tough cookie. And he wants you. You. And so today, as we think about being women of praise in trial. These are four reasons to praise God in trial. That's what we're going to do. Precious, precious word that God gave me when I said, you're crushing me. Wait till you hear what he said. Oh, it's so good. Let's ask him to bless us. Oh, and I will tell you, at the end of this, we're going to switch it up a little. It's testimony time. So when we get to the end of our time, I'm going to say, what did God teach you this week here in our lessons? If there's been one precious thing, I just want you to share it. Not long testimonies. Simple sentences of what God may have given you in our times together. Because when you say it out loud, confirms it to your heart and helps your sister. So that's where we're going today. Let's ask him to help us. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you send it out and accomplish what you desire. And I thank you that you have great desires. Thank you that you are not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Thank you that you send your word out and you use your word and work in our lives. We pray that you would do that today. We thank you for your spirit who is here teaching us. Pray that you would. Even as we prayed at the beginning of this week, we asked you to teach us, and you have answered that. We thank you. We praise you. You are a faithful God. You do not lie, and we are so grateful for the truth that we have before us. I pray for my sisters here. I don't know what's going on in their lives. You do. I pray that you would take your word, apply it to their specific heart, and use it for your glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to see four reasons to praise the Lord. But of course, we are first going to say our verse. Now, if you have forgotten it and your mind's a little fuzzy this morning, you may look down at your paper. But if you know it and it's written on the tablets of your heart, you just shut it out. Okay, here we go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34. Wonderful. What a great verse. At what time are we going to bless the Lord?
All times.
All times. So even in times of trial, in times of difficulty, when we think God is breaking us, and He is, we're going to praise the Lord. And we will see here how many reasons to praise the Lord? Four today. Four reasons. Are you with me here, girls? How many reasons are we going to see?
Four.
Okay. Look at Isaiah, and I'm going to assume that you haven't read this recently. So I'm going to read the passage. It's like a parable in the Old Testament. It's a little bit, reminds you a little bit of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's in the end of Isaiah 28. We're going to start reading at verse, 23. But it's at the end of, God is going to punish these people because, the priest is drunk. They're throwing up on the tables. And you can read it. It's in the Bible. He says vomiting. Yeah. And God is going to judge them, but he calls it, it's really interesting, his strange work. And then he gets to this passage about how he carries out discipline in his own people. Israel was his own people. God was going to deal with him. If you are a believer here today, you are God's child. He has the right as a father to discipline you. Now, discipline doesn't mean always bad things. We think of it as bad things, but it just means parameters to help you live for him, right? And so some of it isn't bad at all. It's just good stuff that you learn to walk in the path. And so this is how God disciplines. If you want to see verse 21, he says, the end of it, that he's going to do his task, his unusual task, and to work his work, his extraordinary work. It's disciplining his people. So verse 23, now we have the little picture, a parable that tells us how God disciplines. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words. Does the farmer plow continually to plant seed? Does he? Do you know the answer to that?
Nope.
Does he continually turn and harrow the ground? Nope. Does he not level its surface and sow dill and scatter cumin and plant wheat in rows, barley in its place and rye within its area? For his God instructs and teaches him properly. For dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is the cartwheel driven over cumin, but dill is beaten out with a rod and cumin with a club. Grain for bread is crushed. Indeed, he does not continue to thresh it forever because the wheel of his cart and his horses eventually damage it. He does not thresh it longer. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who has made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great. I just said, Lord, I feel like you're crushing me, but you would not do that. And then I read, grain for bread is crushed. I went, maybe I need to study this passage. And when I did, I found four reasons to praise God in suffering. I put them out there for you because I want you to know them. And reason number one is God's timing is perfect. Say it with me, girls. God's timing is perfect. So look at the timing in our parable. Does a farmer see the word continually? Does he plow continually? What's the timing in farmers planting and harvesting? It's a planting and harvesting thing. Do we have any farmers here? Yeah, so you would know better than anybody that the farmer doesn't plow the field to plant the seed for months. That's crazy. It's ridiculous. Even I, who am not a farmer, knows that doesn't happen. It says, does he continually turn and harrow the ground? Harrow apparently is the big plow that comes through to break up the clods of dirt so that the dirt can be ready for the seed. Does he do it forever? No. And I thought of planting in our yard. We planted a garden and we were crazy. It was large and we cut the sod out by hand with a knife from the garden. Were we crazy? I mean, we were young and crazy. And my hands were blistered. But it didn't go on forever. There was a point where the sod was up and we took the rototiller through the dirt. And it was over. And I can talk about it. You know, God's timing is like the farmer. He knows what he's doing in your life. And he only does it until he's done with that job. And there's another job coming up and there's harvest. And so God's timing in harvesting and planting is perfect, and so his timing in our life is perfect. I had to think about that. And now I'm more removed from that, and I have great joy in these thoughts. And so I want to tell you a little bit about God's timing in my life. You think about God's timing in your life. In 1986, Craig and I went into the Lord's work in a full-time way. He pushed us out. And we did summer camps, and itinerant preaching during the year. And one day, Steve Allen called. You know him? And he said, Nancy, would you do our ladies' conference at Turkey Hill? And I went, this is the first ladies' conference I ever did. I went, is he crazy? I don't know if I said it out loud, but, you know, I was thinking, no, I will not do that. And I am the son in the parable who says no and then does it. That's me. And so I said, I'll call you back. And I said, no, I'm not going to, I can't do that. I'm a very shy person. I don't like being in front of people. And I said, I can't do it. And my dad and my husband, my dad throughout my whole life, when people would ask me to do things, first Bible study in the park, I'm at Emmaus Bible College, I come home in the summer, ladies at the chapel say, Nancy, will you do a Bible study in the park in the summer? No, no, thank you, I can't do that. And I came home, and my dad said, Nancy, how do you know you can't do it unless you try? Maybe God's given you the gift of teaching. I said, I'm pretty sure I don't have the gift of teaching. And I don't want to do it, basically. And he said, Nancy, you got to try. You just give me this. Go try. So what happened that summer is we started with 5 ladies in the park, and by the end of the summer, there were 70 ladies in the park. For Nancy to see that it was nothing of her. This is nothing of Nancy, but God is, he works with me. Because I'm that no child. And I hung up, and I knew the same thing. Okay, Steve, I'll come down. I was terrified. My mother came with me. That was a good weekend. The room was arranged differently, you know, over there. I stood over there trembling. My knee, oh, I'm scared. My mother made me this green suit. Those are all good memories. It was so cute. And you know what? I saw that it was something of God. And so for years, that was our life, going out, teaching, at home, teaching, sharing with the children, seeing kids get saved all summer long. God didn't give us kids. We said, God, what do you want us to do? And he directed us to be the way he made us and not have kids and invest our lives for him. Big stories all along through here, which I'm not going to tell you because we don't have time. But then came the time in my life where my dad was dying. I held his hand in the hospital. He said, Nancy, take care of your mother. I said, Dad, I'm offended that you have to tell me to take care of my mother. I am going to take care of my mother. And then it was Rosie, and I had the romantic thing. Mom and I are good friends, and it was going to be a blast. And it was a blast for a very long time. We shopped together. My mother's a shopper. And then my mother got sick. And it was my ministry. And I realized that God had then given me a greater ministry than I've ever had in my life. Because you know what? I read the verses from cover to cover. And this morning, a friend of mine texted me. She doesn't know what I'm talking about. Deuteronomy 14, like 29, which says, God cares for the widow and the orphan and the refugee. Now, I was just pretty centered on the widow, and I saw it from cover to cover, and I said, God, if you love the widow, I want to love the widow, my mother, and I'm going to care for you as long as you let me. And he let me, and I'm thankful. And now my mother's in heaven, and what's God's timing in my life? Well, here I am again, but I'm a changed woman. God has changed me. I'm thankful. It makes me, if I can get through this without bawling my eyes out, we'll be, I am thankful. I'm a thankful woman. God's timing is perfect. People said, don't take care of your mother. Think about the ministry that you have. Put your mother in a nursing home. I wasn't going to do that. This was my ministry from God. And it was, God taught me things, which maybe I'll tell you in a minute. But God's what I'm trying to tell you is, you look, now that Craig and I will be married 40 years in October, and we're at the stage where we're looking back. And we look back and see God's faithfulness, God's faithfulness. My heart burst with joy. And now, you know what? God has brought Karen into our lives. And I'm partly telling you this so you will pray for us. So while my mother was ill and dying, this family visited the chapel of Karen, the refugees from Burma. And Craig had even quit speaking out, because every ministry we've done together, he said, Nancy, we've done our whole lives together. We're doing this ministry of caring for your mother together. And he spoke out as long as he could until we got to a stage where he did the night shift so I could go sleep. So for 2 solid years, Craig was down at Mom's and I was sleeping. I don't know how we did that. It's the grace of God. And during that time, Craig couldn't go out. I thought, my husband's going to go crazy. But no, God's timing is what? And he brought these refugees to us. And my husband, you know, I've always loved my husband. But in these later years, seeing how he cared for my mother and seeing his love for the refugee and how he dove into their homes and their lives. And we started seeing people saved. He said to the teenagers who could speak English, do you want to come to our house and have a Bible study? Started with 5 people around our table. I would come up from caring for mother when we were hiring somebody to come in at night. I'd say, oh, hi, you guys. They'd come over and love on me, hug me, and I'd say, have a good time studying. I'm going to bed. And I hardly knew. I mean, I knew them somewhat. But we started with 5 around the table. We're now at the second group of high schoolers, and when we quit before summer, we had 25 in our house. These kids are, some of them coming to the chapel, some are not. They're friends from high school. They're getting saved one at a time. But even greater than that for me is to see them growing. And this summer we did a VBS and taught them how to do the VBS, which took months and hours and hours and hours. And I said numerous times, it would be so much easier to do this ourselves. But we're raising up a generation of leaders, I'm praying. And so they did it. My heart was full of joy. And before I left, I have to tell you this. We also have a couple African refugees. And the one guy, he's now in his 20s, but he was one of the first guys around our table. And he said, Nancy, I have a verse for you. He has a beautiful French accent. And so he said, but I know you're going to camp and you're in a hurry, so I won't give it to you now. I'll wait till you get home. I said, no way. And he took me into a room and he said, this is my verse for you. And he had found it. He reads his Bible like he devours his Bible. He said, I found this verse. This is you. 1 John, 2 John. I don't know. It's in one of the Johns. I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. And he said, that's you, Nancy, when you see us walking in the truth. I just burst out crying. God's time. When my mother died, I said, And I went through some really difficult 2 years. But I said, I will never be happy again. I really believed it. My grief was so deep, far more recovery than I ever thought I would need. And yet, right now, I'm looking, and I have more joy than I've ever had in my life, seeing people saved, and because God's timing is perfect. He knows what you're doing. If you touch your life at any one period, you might find joy or discouragement or whatever, but you need to know God's timing is perfect. Oh, there's more coming. But can you rejoice in this, that God's timing is perfect? So what are you going through? Well, His timing is perfect. Now, the second thing that really, I just want to say, He saved you at the perfect time, right? Romans. While we were yet sinners, at that time, Christ saved you. And what's He doing in your life now? Well, He's working everything. 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. During this time, I saw the man in John 5 who was by the pool of Bethesda who couldn't help himself. And this is what the Lord said to him. I like this. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time in that condition, said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" Jesus knows our long times. I've had some long times in my life. But it's God's time, and so it's good. Number one, we bless the Lord in difficulties because His timing is perfect. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. Secondly, we bless the Lord because His methods are appropriate. Did you see in our passage? The farmer does a certain thing with each thing that he's planting. Verse 25, does he not level its surface and sow dill? He sows dill. Sow is like, and scatter. Scatter is bigger. And wheat is wheat sown? No, it's planted. And what thrills me about this is the farmer knows how to deal with each one of his little plants. Do you know God's dealings? And the farmer doesn't just take his wheat plants and scatter them. No, that's for something else. And so God knows exactly how to deal with you. You're maybe His little dill or His little wheat plant. And His methods of handling you are exactly right. You can never accuse God of not knowing what He's doing. His methods are appropriate for you. It's that way in planting. It's that way in harvesting. Let's see. Dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge because that will ruin it. This is verse 27. A cartwheel isn't driven over the cumin. Why? Because it's going to ruin it. But when it comes to dill, man, we beat it out. And with cumin, a club. Grain for bread is crushed, but he doesn't thresh forever because the cart of the wheel of the horses will damage it eventually. He knows exactly the method that's appropriate for you. Well, when I felt like the Lord was crushing me and I saw this passage, I had to say, okay, well, this is right then. Do you know God is always right? But it's really good to come to the place to say, Lord, You're right. And I just humbly bow before You and accept what You're giving me, because You're right. That's what Job said, right? If you read Job's life, it doesn't look exactly like he is getting the appropriate measures. Job didn't know what was going on in heaven. Job didn't hear the stuff behind the scenes. But God was dealing just right in Job's life. And His response, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. And what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all this, Job did not sin or blame God. Wow. I find that I'm not Job. I look back and see a lot of sin there, a lot of blaming God, until I realize, hey, I'm blaming God. Why would I do that? And then Job, at the end of his life, you know the story, do you? If you don't, you should read it. The passages in Job about God, they are great things to read back to God. Wonderful. Where were you, Job? Where were you when I founded the world? Oh, yeah, I wasn't there. And at the end of that, Job says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I retract and repent in dust and ashes. Job got it. God is great, and he deals very personally in our lives. You remember Paul, great passage where he's crushed, and he's, it's 2 Corinthians 4. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way. That's quite a statement. But not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. God loves to work with weak things, broken things, crushed things to his glory. So his methods, this is a reason to praise God. His methods are appropriate. There's so many other verses. But you know that day that I was up on my couch saying, Lord, you're crushing me, and then realized, oh, he is. You know what I can take here, and I don't know what to do. What had happened is I'd had hospice for 9 months, and they let us go from the program because my mother wasn't dying fast enough. But when they let us go, my mother was dying. And so I didn't, when you have hospice, let me tell you, they are fantastic. They gave my mother baths. They gave her supplies. They changed her pants. So now I have to learn how to change my mother in bed. And Craig said, Nancy, this is not a problem. We are going to watch YouTube. So we watched YouTube on how to change a diaper in bed. We practiced without my mother. Hey, it is not easy. All praise to all nurses and to those hospice people. They are so good. And Craig said, we can do this, honey. God took them away from us. And so Craig and I, we had to do it together. I do not know how they do it by themselves. I don't. It cannot be done. Learned how to do these things. I had to. And so God took them away from us. And when I was upstairs wondering what to do, I had a few issues. I have to remember them now and think about them. Let's see. I thought, okay, what am I going to do without hospice? I cannot function. Number two, when she dies, what am I going to do? Like with hospice, they take care of everything. And number three is, I had a night person taking care of my mother. She wasn't a nurse, but she's very capable. And she told me at this point, Nancy, you've got to get food into your mother. You're killing her. She told me I was killing my mother. I would try to get my mother to eat. She didn't want to eat. She was past the eating stage, but I didn't know that. And so I felt, please feel this with me, I was killing my mother. She's my best friend. So I went up, this was the crushing moment. I went upstairs, I said, Lord, what am I going to do? This is what I want to tell you. His methods are so appropriate. I needed God. And do you know what? God called me from heaven. My cell phone rang. It was Steve Price. And do you know Steve Price? He's a doctor in Kansas City, friend. His wife told him to call me because on Facebook she saw that I lost hospice. And he had no idea of my three issues. hadn't said them to anybody. At this point, I hadn't even said them to Craig. But God was calling me from heaven. And Nancy, this is Steve. Hi, Steve. Steve never called me in his life. You know, I'm crying, so I'm trying to control myself. Hi, Steve, being sort of normal. He said, Janet tells me your mom is not doing well. Could I ask you some questions? Sure. He asked me when she ate last, how much. He was the whole doctor thing. I had lost hospice. I had no doctor. And now he's asking me these questions. He said, may I be very honest with you? And I'm saying, in my heart, please. And he said, your mother is dying. Now, I knew my mother had been dying for 3 years. You know, when that happens and the actual time comes, you don't really believe she's dying. She's been dying for 3 years. But because of what she was eating and drinking, your mother is dying. He said, Nancy, listen to this. He didn't know anything. This is why it was God. For generations, people have died in their homes without hospice. You don't need hospice. God just told me I don't need hospice. Okay, all right. I'm not saying anything to Steve. I'm like hardly controlling myself. And then he said, when your mother dies, this is what you do. You call the funeral home and you say, my mother's died in the home. It's nothing unusual. We expected it. And they'll take care of everything. Okay, I'm very controlled. He has no idea. You know, I've told him since. Okay. Inside I'm going, I'm bawling my eyes out. And the third thing he said is, I just want you to know that you're not killing your mother. Those were his words. And he said, and so he told me very doctorly, what happens to the body when people die? Their body shuts down, Nancy. They can't take in food. He said this, don't force feed your mother. And he told me all the things. And I said, thank you, Steve. And hung up. And I said, God, you just called me from heaven. He did. And he told me just exactly what to do. Oh, isn't God great? So precious. His methods with me were so appropriate. He broke me. He had the rope around my leg, but he knew exactly when to give me help. And exactly the help I needed. Wow, I just want to say God is great and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. His timing in your life, in my life, it's perfect. Thank you, Lord. His methods with you are appropriate. And he's giving just the right pressure. He knows exactly what he's doing. And that is a point of praise. Praise God for what he's doing. Our third reason that we're going to praise God in these difficulties is, this is really important. God's purposes must unfold. You know what that means? I can fold this piece of paper up, right? You know, as it unfolds, it means, you know the expression, wait for it? Wait for it. So many Christians don't wait for God's purposes to unfold in their life. But this story about planting and harvesting shows us that God's purposes have to unfold. So you plant the corn. You don't go out the next day and look for it. Right? You're not expecting day two for the corn to be knee-high by the 4th of July or whatever. You wait. Right? Learn from the farmer in your life. God's purposes must unfold. How did I word it? Oh, yeah, let's say it together. God's purposes must unfold. Man, if you could read your Bible, and you do, and see all the people who didn't wait for God's purposes to unfold. Let's see, that I was reading when I was thinking about this about Joshua conquering Canaan. And so there was Achan, and they were told to go into Ai and not take anything. And Achan, sorry, I work with children. He looked this way, and he looked that way, but he forgot to look up, and what did he do? He took stuff that he was not supposed to take, and he died. But if he would have waited for the next city, you know what they got to do in the next city? Plunder it, take it all. He didn't wait. I need to hear that, don't you? God's purposes unfold, and so you wait. And so I could read you all the verses in the Bible about waiting for the Lord. Look them up. There's a lot of them. We have to wait. Because do you know why? God is waiting for us. The Lord longs to be compassionate to you. Therefore, he waits on high to be gracious to you. Do you know God is waiting too? If you read in your Bible the story of Lazarus, the Lord Jesus looks so cruel. They come over to the Lord and they say, Lazarus, whom you love, is dying. And they expect the Lord, and you do this too, to jump to their request. Okay, I'll be right there. I'll solve everything. But the Bible says he stayed 2 days because he was going to do something very wonderful that we are going to enjoy. He gets over there finally 2 days later, and Martha meets him and says, Lord, if you would have been here, blaming God, my brother would not have died. He sees Mary, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. He says, do you believe? I am the resurrection and the life. And what he was about to do was reveal his glory in a way that they would have never enjoyed, we would have never enjoyed, but God's timing is perfect and his purposes have to unfold. So give God time. Give God a break. Come on. Wait for his purposes. Oh, it's so wonderful to see his present purposes as you wait for them. Isaiah 30:18 is where the Lord is waiting for you. I love this verse, Isaiah 46:9-10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that have not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. So what do? Wait. I think I will read you some of these verses. Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Isaiah 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lamentations 3:25. My chapter for the day with Craig. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to those who seek him. Wait for the Lord. James 5. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. How long should you be patient? How long are you going to wait for the Lord? Till he comes. When is he coming? Any day. Could be today. The day that I don't get my Kleenex out and ready is the day that I'm crying my way through the lesson. Excuse me. The Lord is coming. Wait. He says, see how the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. That's Isaiah 28. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's near. It's right around the corner. I can hear his footfalls. He's coming. Thank you, sweetie. So what should we do? We wait because his purposes must unfold. So in your life, don't jump ship. Please don't. I could tell you story after story of people I know who have, if they would have just waited on God just a little longer. But they've taken their events in their life into their own hands because, well, God isn't coming through on their timetable. So, honey, that's you. Remember, that's your name. Wait for the Lord. Let him work his purposes. What is the purpose of plowing and planting? It's for harvest. What's the purpose of what God's doing in your life? Well, there's a whole lot of things he's harvesting in your life, and you want to let him do that. I thought all of my life was training to take care of my mother. As I was caring for her, I saw that in so many ways God prepared me for this ministry. And it made me smile. It made me rejoice. But now I'm removed from that, and you know what I see? That caring for my mother was training to help me to care for the refugees now. So exciting! And all those verses where I saw how much the Lord cared for the widow and the orphan, now all of a sudden refugee is jumping out at me. There was a day where we had a magazine, I can't remember if it was Missions Magazine or Precious Seed, maybe, sitting in the entryway at the chapel. And one of the young men who is a blessing to me, he got saved. That's a story. I have so many stories that I could tell you. But I will just tell you this, that the day that he got saved, it was Easter 2 years ago, I got a text, was a terrible text, the most horrible text I've ever received from anybody in my life, going on about how terrible I was and evil I was and the things that I had done. And it really disturbed, it's this Easter Sunday morning, disturbed my inner woman, as you can imagine. And I went to the chapel, I said, Lord, I just want to be able to put this away and focus on you, but I was so disturbed. And we remembered the Lord Jesus, and I saw he was crushed for me. I said, thank you, Lord, that in some very tiny way I can experience your sufferings. That's that. I went to Sunday school, but I was so overwhelmed with the hatred. And as I got to Sunday school, I said, you know what I'm going to do today? I had a lesson for you guys, but I think we're going to read Luke 24. We're going to read the cross. We're just going to look at Jesus. He rose again. And so as I read it, I saw this young man. I could see the wheels turning. And I totally forgot that other stuff. As I looked at the Lord at the end of class, my kids never want to leave. Their parents can be out walking around. They don't care. They just stay there. Tell us more. Tell us more. Never had this happen in my life. And he was hanging around. He was sitting by me. And I said, Yuahi, too, will you tell me when you trust the Lord? I'm very careful with the kids. And he said, I trusted him today. That was the day that my life felt like it was falling apart in the morning. How about God's timing? And Satan opposes. Do you know that? So don't be on Satan's side, girls. Be on God's side. And that thrilled my heart. And right now, what was I starting to tell you?
The Precious Seed magazine.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. He was standing in the lobby, and he saw this article. It said, widows, orphans, and aliens. He said, what does that mean? We often teach them what words mean. It's one of the new delights of my life. He said, a widow, okay, that's like my mom. Her husband was dead, and so she was alone. Okay, I got the widow. Orphan, oh, he said, I know what an orphan is. It's a person without parents. I said, yeah. That's me now. My parents are dead. He goes, really, Nancy? I said, not really, no. I mean, yeah, technically, but no. And then he said, alien, what's an alien? I said, it's a person without a home. He goes, oh, that's me, a refugee. I said, that's it, it's a refugee. He was so thrilled, he went home and told all his family, we're in the Bible. And I showed him all the verses about refugees. He went home to his high school brother, and so the next time I was in their house, he came over to me, Talmay said, Yuahi, too, shared with me the verses about refugees in the Bible. It was so thrilling. You know, God is so good in the way he works and unfolds purposes in our lives. And so we learn things. I learned things while I was taking care of my mother, that God had a whole lot of things to teach me. He taught me what it was to be really lonely. That was very good for me. He taught me what it was to love what he loves, even if other people don't love what he loves. That was really important for me right now in my life. You see, God is teaching us. He's working in our lives. He has something for you. So live your life to make him happy, to please him, to glorify him. One more point. Okay, let's review. Number one reason to praise God and discipline is because God's timing is perfect. Number two, God's methods are appropriate. Number three, God's purposes must unfold. And number four, God's wisdom is great. You see at the end, this little parable, verse 29, this comes from the Lord of hosts who made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great. Who's smarter, you or God? Okay, then why do we act like we're smarter than God? I'm always telling God what to do. And then I realize, who has become his counselor? Nancy, are you counseling God? No, God. My new line is, I think I'll have it till I die. I don't know anything. I just want your wisdom in my life. I want you. And his wisdom is great. So you know that book they were advertising, Alone in Majesty, that I said was one of my favorite books? It's The Truth. William MacDonald. And one of the things he said, it's about the attributes of God. And I like keeping it nearby so that when I'm thinking about God's wisdom, I want to see what he says. This is what he says in that book. If we had the wisdom of God, we would plan our lives in the same way. I went, really? You think about it. This is why we don't have to complain, right? God's wisdom is great. He taught the farmer what to do. He's working in our lives. This is a great reason to praise him. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. I'm standing here to tell you that God's timing is perfect, that his methods in your life are appropriate, that his plan has to unfold. So you have to wait for him. Don't jump ahead of him. Don't do your own way, because his wisdom, great. God is great. So would you do that, honey? Live for the Lord. You are a precious treasure. You know you? You, just you. And do you know that no one has your life? You are the only person with your life. Your sister doesn't have your life. Your mother doesn't have your life. Your friend doesn't have your life. I know this is obvious, but it's not obvious. You are the only person that can live in your life, in your circumstances, for God. So will you live for him? Now, I don't know if you all know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I don't know where you stand. So I'm going to end by looking at Christ. Do you know what happened to the Lord Jesus? We've been thinking about it. Listen to this. He was pierced for my transgressions. He was crushed for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was on him. He took that all for me. I have a hard time being dry-eyed about that. When I see my sin on him, he did that for me so that I could live a life of thanksgiving to him. I'm thankful. I'm a thankful girl. Are you? So I just want to serve him. And I want to encourage you girls not to waste your life complaining about the circumstances that he's put you in. It's a waste. Don't waste your life looking horizontally at all your circumstances and just live there. Don't waste your life watching the news and living in light of the news. Look up and live your life looking up at him. And then really you can be a woman of praise. The world needs women who know God. That's what that is. Know God so that we talk about him. I'm with Paul. He said something the other night. I just appreciated being here so much. And he said, yeah, it's relational. You build relationships with people, but don't wait till the 400th time to tell them about Jesus. If he's precious to you, you tell them about Jesus. One of my girls, my little refugee, you know, we call them daughters, but we're really old enough to be their grandparents. And do you know in Karen, the word for grandma is pee-pee, and the word for grandpa is poo-poo. And I'm not kidding you. So we can do a lot of jokes with that. We had the girls over. I'm sorry, Craig is crazy. And he said, girls, we're going swimming, and pee-pee and poo-poo are going to be in the pool. They think it's so funny. And it is funny. The point is, what was I saying again? You can't help me this time. Live your life for God. He knows what he's doing, and you can live it for him. He is good. He is the only wise God. Jesus was crushed for you so that you could have a life. You have a life, so live it for him. I really seriously don't have any idea where I was going with that. So now we're going to, I want to hear from you, your sisters want to hear from you, something, one thing that blessed you out of our time together. Say it loud so we can hear. Thank you. We want to make God smile. God is bigger than our troubles. I'm sorry, VeggieTales comes to mind. God is bigger than the boogeyman. It's true, yes?
Back and God, what God says, He will, when He says He will forgive us, and I like that you actually acted out that you're wrong, God forgive, you know, ask Lord to forgive us, but we don't take it to heart. We're going, it seems like it's easier to dwell in sin and not trust that the Lord forgive us instead of rejoice that He forgive us and move on and serve Him. We should bump in His word that His word is sure that He forgive us and not keep dwelling in the sin
Praise God. Bank on His promises. That's good. Thank you. Wonderful. God is sovereign. Oh, so good. Yes. Wonderful.
I think just a simple thing of not complaining. You know, you catch yourself as you're talking, you know, saying something maybe negative, and it's like, oops, I'm not supposed to complain. So it's just a simple thing that we need to be so careful and not complain, because God is great.
I would like to tell you, sister, that when I think of a person who doesn't complain, it's you. I thank God for you. And yesterday I was thanking God for you and thanking Him that I have learned from you the beauty of not complaining. So let that encourage your heart, because we need each other. Something else. Anybody?
God only deals with you for a time.
Yeah.
It doesn't last
forever. Yeah.
There have been times in my life when it feels like God takes everything away. Friends, health, everything. So you just look at him and you go back to him.
Yeah. And you have no idea what's coming. I had no idea. No, I didn't know what a Karen refugee was. And my life is full of joy. There's joy around the corner. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Oh, God is so great. Isn't he? Let's thank him. Father, I thank you for these times together. I thank you for sisters that we can encourage one another. And I pray that you would help us to be women who know you and look at you and are thankful for you. I thank you today that you are the only wise God and that all wisdom comes from you, that you have depths of wisdom and knowledge that we will never be able to plummet, and that thrills our hearts. Thank you that you are not like us, that you are great. Your ways are higher than our ways. And we appreciate that. We thank you for being a great God, a God who gave your only Son. We are amazed and appreciative of the Lord Jesus, who willingly laid down his life for us, willingly went through hours of darkness, separation from you, took our hell so that we could have life. We thank you that you made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we could become the righteousness of God in him. It blows our minds, and we're thankful. We're so thankful. I pray for my sisters, each one here, that you would do with her your good pleasure, that she could be a tool, a vessel used by you. Help us to reach a lost and dying world, and we look for the Lord Jesus to come, and we say, Lord, come today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, girls. Have I told you that I love you?